So living in love, it's something I spoke on a few months ago on the webcast, but it's something that really keeps coming back to me, and something that I think is really a key fruit of our journey into the Father's love, and also us beginning to live in the spirit of sonship. Because I think many of us, when we first encountered the revelation of the Father, it was very much a sense of coming to know Him as Father and receiving His love, and then going on a journey of really understanding who He is, and out of that, coming to a place where we begin to understand who we are, that we really are sons and daughters. And as we come to that place where we know that we're sons and daughters, you know, I really believe that's when we know that we're planted in love or we're living in love. And Paul's prayer in Ephesians talks about us being rooted and established, or rooted and grounded in love. And to understand that, he says, you know, somehow he says we have to be strengthened in order that we can understand the height and the depth and the width and the length of his love for us. And it's like we need to be strengthened, or we need to be expanded. You know, our human spirit is not big enough, it's not strong enough to contain what Father wants to pour into our hearts. And so Paul prays in Ephesians that we would be strengthened in order to know the magnitude of the Father's love. And as we are strengthened and we become and we begin to understand the magnitude of his love, you know, I believe that it's kind of, you know, the more we are strengthened, the more we receive, and the more we receive, the more we need to be strengthened in order to receive a deeper revelation of who the Father is and his love for us. And I don't believe that cycle, if you like, ever comes to an end of like saying, I have now reached capacity and fully understand the Father's love. If we ever understand the Father's love fully, if we ever feel like we've got it, then we've minimized it and made it too small, because we can never grasp the full extent of the enormity and the magnitude of his love for us. And it's as we really understand that we are sons and daughters, and that we live in the spirit of sonship, that we know that we're planted in love, or that we're living in love. You know, something occurred to me the other day, which was one of those wow moments where you see something that you haven't quite seen before, or you haven't really grasped it before, and suddenly you see something and you go, wow, isn't that amazing? And the thing that I felt like I saw for, you know, the first time really, was the difference between Adam and Eve in the garden and us in our redeemed state, if you like. Because in the garden, Adam and Eve had an amazing relationship with God as Father. You know, Adam had been created out of the dust of the earth, and God the Father knelt on the ground and breathed his life into Adam, and Adam became alive, a living soul. And as a fully grown, fully mature, perfect man, he would have opened his eyes and looked straight into the eyes of his Father, straight into the eyes of perfect love. And you know, we read in Genesis that, you know, God would walk with Adam in the cool of the day. And you know, I guess sometimes there's something in us that's a little bit jealous of that relationship, because they had such, before the fall, there was obviously that intensely beautiful and intensely perfect relationship of God the Father coming down to earth and walking with Adam in the cool of the evening. And I think something inside of us is a little bit jealous of that, and think, oh, you know, how we would long for that. And something inside of us yearns for that same depth of relationship with the Father. But what I saw the other day was that, you know, yes, Adam and Eve walked with the Father in the cool of the day, but we actually have something greater. And Jesus describes it for us a little bit in John chapter 14, and it's a regular theme throughout Paul's letters. You know, and it's Jesus says in John chapter 14 that we, that's you and me, we are now in him. We are now in Christ. We are in Christ, and Christ is in the Father. And that speaks to me of such a greater intimacy and such a greater depth of relationship. You know, Adam just got to enjoy God the Father in the cool of the evening. You know, when God came down and walked with him through the garden, and they talked together probably as friends and so on. But we have this permanent state of being in Christ. And, you know, Jesus says in John chapter 14 that the Father is in him and he is in the Father and we are in him. And it all gets a bit confused as to who is in who. But the point he is describing for us is that the Trinity enjoy this amazingly wonderful and beautiful intimate relationship. And, you know, we often say the three in one and the one in three. And it's like so united and so one and so together. But yet Jesus is saying we are now drawn into that. And we have this oneness and this unity, which is 24/7, 365. It's there all the time that we are in Christ. And that's a key thing that that Paul talks a lot about in his letters. And, you know, I was just thinking about that the other day, thinking that is so amazing that we are drawn into, you know, even having been through the fall and having lived a fallen life and then having been redeemed back to the Father through Jesus, we actually have a greater intimacy, a greater closeness, a greater oneness with the Father than even Adam himself enjoyed in the garden. And when I saw that the other day, it was just like one of those moments of, wow, isn't this incredible? That, you know, the depths of this relationship with the Father that you and I can enjoy is something so incredibly, it's way beyond our understanding. It's incredibly mind-blowing how we could possibly deserve it. And of course the answer is we don't deserve it, because it's been given to us simply because of a gift of grace. And then as I thought about that and realized, you know, what it really means to be in Christ, you know, we are living right in the center of the Father's affection. You know, the love the Father has for the Son is imputed to us simply because we are in Christ, and we are beneficiaries of the love the Father has for the Son because of our oneness and our unity in Christ. And I just thought, this is so incredible that this is what we've been invited into, is that we can live in this place of intimate relationship with both the Father and the Son, and held in that place, if you like, by the infilling of the Holy Spirit into us. And that is just such an incredible gift that we've been given. It's endlessly priceless that the Father would draw us into his Son, into Christ, and therefore we receive the full benefit of the love he has for his Son Jesus. And it gave me a deeper understanding of what it means for us to really, really live in love. See, and many of you will have heard me say this, but I really believe it is possible for us to live in love. See, when Paul says that we are planted in love, or we're rooted and grounded in love, or we're established in love, he's not just writing about a vague theory. You know, he's not just presenting us something that we will win one day down the road, or we will gain, in the future sometime. But he's talking about the practical reality of your daily life and the practical reality of my daily life. And he's saying, you know, it is possible to live in love. It is possible to know that we are being loved right now. And, you know, many of you will have heard me say this before, but there is a big difference. There's a massive difference. There's a chasm between the statement, God loves me, and God is loving me now. Or God is a God of love, and God is loving me now. See, one is a statement of fact. It's a statement that affects our minds. But the other one is a statement that is an experience which comes out of our heart. And, you know, many of us have spent our lives relying on the facts. But actually, the Father wants us to rely on the experience of being loved. See, all of us know that God is a Father. But there's a big difference between knowing that He is a Father and knowing that He is being a Father to you. See, one is a fact and one is an experience. And again, you know, many of us have relied on that fact that God is a Father. But there's a deeper reliance, there's a deeper level when we come to rely on the experience of Him being a Father to us. See, I can tell you that I've got four children, which I have, you know, and I can tell you all about them and all the things we do. And you can go away at the end of this webcast thinking, Mark's a good dad. You know, Mark is a father. I've given you some facts. I've given you some information. But there are only four people in the world that can experience me being a father to them. And that's my four children. And, you know, when we come into this lifestyle where we know who the Father is, we know that we're sons and daughters, and we begin to live in love, we cross the line from simply relying on facts and knowledge, and we begin to rely on the experience of Him loving us, which is going on in our hearts. And so, just over the last few weeks almost, this whole thing of living in love seems to have taken on a deeper level for me, because we are drawn into something so amazingly intimate, so amazingly wonderful, where we can know and rely on the heart experience of being loved by the Father right now and being drawn into this amazing spirit of sonship that enables us to live in exactly the same way as Jesus lived. Now, I know we live in a fallen world. I know that the stuff of life happens. I know that, you know, we could all wake up tomorrow and it could be a bad day. I know that circumstances come along and threaten our peace and threaten our security and threaten our identity. But, you know, even with all that shaking that can happen in just in our everyday lives, we can know and we can rely on the experience of being loved by our Heavenly Father. You know, Jesus told the disciples a little story one time. He said, nobody cuts a patch from a new garment and sews it onto an old garment. You know, we all get very comfortable and familiar with our old favourite clothes, don't we? You know, we've got our favourite sweater, our favourite jacket, our favourite pair of jeans or whatever. And we become very, very comfortable with those old clothes, you know, and they fit us well, and we'd rather wear them than the new clothes in the wardrobe. And, you know, but sometimes these old clothes get a hole in them. And Jesus uses that illustration with his disciples and says, if that happens, you don't go and get your new clothes and take a patch out of your new clothes and try and sew it on to the old. You know, the Message translation says something like, you don't take your new silk scarf to patch up your old decorating clothes or your old work clothes or something like that. And, you know, that's very, very true. We wouldn't do that. And I think many, many people treat the Father's love in the same sort of way. They, you know, they're comfortable in their old traditions, they're comfortable in their way of life, they're comfortable in the Christianity they've experienced thus far. And then maybe they hear something about the, you know, the Father or the Father's love, and so they think that's great. And so they take a little bit of the Father's love and try and stick it onto their favourite old traditions or way of doing things. And Jesus says that doesn't work. And what we have to do is take off the old garments. We have to get rid of the old traditions. We have to get rid of the old way of doing things, the old belief systems. And instead of just having a patch of the Father's love, we need to be clothed in love. In Colossians chapter 3 verse 12, Paul writes, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. But above all of these, put on love." Above all of these, put on love. And, you know, the word that he's using there for putting on love is this, it's been translated as sinking into a garment. So what Paul is saying is, you know, all these other characteristics like being holy, that's good. Being compassionate is good. Being kind is good. Being humble is good. Being patient is very, very good. Bearing with one another, all of these things are good. But Paul says, above everything else, you know, above all of these things, sink into a garment of love. Now, that's just like getting your favourite blanket and wrapping yourself up in it. You know, it's like coming home and sinking into your favourite chair. It's just like being enveloped in love. And we cannot treat the Father's love as an add-on. And many people do. You know, they think, oh, that's good. And they grab a bit of it and they try and stick it on as if it's a patch on their existing garments. But we cannot treat the Father's love that way. You know, Paul says, put on love. And, you know, I believe he's talking about taking off, casting off our old way of thinking, our old belief system, our old, maybe even our old religious ways, and casting all of that off and being clothed, being covered in a garment of love. Absolutely being wrapped up in love. And that's exactly what happened to the younger son in Luke chapter 15 when he came home. You know, he comes home smelly, dirty, tired, hungry, and his father runs out to meet him and throws a robe around him, the best robe in the house. And it's like he wraps him up in love. He throws his arms around him, he embraces him, and he says, "Son, you belong. This is your place. This is where you live. This is home." And I believe it's the same for us, that when the Father wraps us in his love, we know we belong. We know we've come home, you know, and that's something I believe we all need to experience, not just once. But we need to experience that embrace and that welcome and that homecoming regularly, where we hear the Father say to us, "Son, daughter, you belong. You know, I love you. Welcome home." And, you know, that's what I think it's Paul is talking about when he says, be clothed in love, put love on. You know, and my encouragement to us this evening is not to treat the love of the Father as an add-on, but to treat it for what it is, which is the total and the complete covering and the garment of love. Because that's, you know, when we live enveloped in his love, then we know we're living in the love that Paul talks about in Ephesians. Many of us will know that verse in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21-25. I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I will say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks in him. See, and I don't know if you've ever read the rest of Lamentations chapter 3, but it really describes most of our days, most of the time. The guy is having a bad day. You know, when you read through Lamentations, you know, his day is just going all wrong. Everything's going badly wrong and stuff's going on. And actually you read it and you think, oh, that's just like a lot of my days. That's just like how I feel. That's just what happens to me. And it's very, very easy for us to allow those circumstances to drag us down, or we allow those circumstances to govern the way we think about ourselves, the way we feel about ourselves, maybe even what we think about God. And, you know, here's this guy in Lamentations chapter 3 having his bad day, and suddenly he remembers something. And he remembers, oh yes, the Lord's great love. You know, his mercies are new every morning. He's faithful. His compassions never fail. And, you know, I just want to encourage you with that this evening, because all of us have bad days. All of us suffer under the stuff of life. But if we can just call to mind, oh yes, I'm planted in love. I'm living in love. You know, God is my father. God is being a father to me. He is loving me right now. If we can remember his great love for us, even in those times when we're going through it, even when those times when we're struggling, that gives us hope. That gives us something to hang on to and say, yeah, it's a bad day. Yeah, it's a tough day, but my father loves me and I'm going to get through this. See, when our roots go deeper and deeper into love, the further our roots go down into love, the easier it is for us to come back and grasp hold of this truth when things are not going our way and things are a challenge for us. See, if we're not planted in love, that's just a theory. You know, if we're not rooted and grounded in love, that's just a verse in the Bible. But if we are planted in love, and if we're living in love, as John says in 1 John 4:16, we've come to know and to believe or rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. See, those words there that John is writing, they are experiential words. You know, they belong in our hearts, not in our minds. And they belong in our hearts because it's a relationship that John is writing about. And our Heavenly Father is totally, totally reliable. He never gives up on us. He never leaves us. His love never runs out. And he is always, always, always pouring that love into our hearts. And we can experience him loving us. We can know him loving us. And that is the thing that sustains us, that we can hold on to. You know, if we just have those words as information or as facts about God, they will not change our lives. But if these words are planted deep into our hearts, that the love of God is a substance, or the love of God is an experience, then that experience of being loved and living in love is what causes us to have stability in life, in our life, because our roots are planted going down deep into his love. You know, it's like the parable of the seed and the sower, where some of the seed fell onto the path and the birds came and ate it away, or some of the seed fell, you know, into rocky, stony ground and the roots didn't go down deep. But some of the seed fell on good soil and the roots went down deep. And, you know, we have good soil. We have the soil of the Father's love. And let's plant our lives in that soil rather than in the shallowness of many other things that we're offered. That's the key to producing fruit that will be abundant and fruit that will last, which is what Jesus talks about in John chapter 15. See, this whole experiential life of living in love is the Father's only plan for us. That's what he wants. He wants you and me to be planted in his love so that his love becomes the very, very source of everything we do. It becomes the very, very thing that motivates us. It becomes the very thing that sustains us. It becomes the very thing that gives us energy. And, you know, it's very easy for us to rely on a whole host of other things, but none of those things ever satisfy or ever last totally. Because the only thing that satisfies the depths of our heart and the needs of our heart is when his love is the substance of the life that's flowing within us. And, you know, I just said a few moments ago that we are in Christ, and, you know, we are the beneficiaries of the Father's love for his Son Jesus, simply because we are in Jesus, we are in Christ. And therefore the love that the Father has for the Son is the same love that he has for us. And I know we read this verse very often on the webcast, but I want to read it again just to remind us and encourage us that we are in that place of being loved with perfect love. And we are in that place of being loved in exactly the same way that Jesus is loved. And this is Jesus's very last words at the end of John chapter 17, where he's actually praying for all of us. You know, he's prayed for his disciples, and now he's praying for all those that follow on after. And that's you and me. That's, you know, we're included in this prayer. And these are almost the last words Jesus says. They're certainly the last recorded words before he's taken away to the cross. And he says this, he says, "I have given them the revelation of who you are. I will continue to make you even more real to them, so that they may experience the same endless love that you have for me. For your love will now live in them, even as I live in them." And, you know, I just love that sentence. You know, first of all, Jesus is saying he will continue to make the Father even more real to us. It's like, it's not a one-off revelation. It's not like, oh, I've shown you the Father, now you're on your own. It's not that at all. It's Jesus says, I will continue to make you even more real to them. So even today, even tomorrow, even the next day, Jesus is revealing the Father to each one of us. Jesus goes on revealing the Father. And that is so wonderful that it means it's fresh all the time. It's never dry, it's never dusty. We don't have to rely on yesterday's revelation. We don't have to rely on a revelation that's 20 years old, but we can live in the today revelation of the Father being revealed to us. And I encourage you to live in the today revelation and let Jesus reveal the Father to you daily. And then I love how he says, I want to reveal you to them so that they may experience the same endless love that you have for me. It's like Jesus knows the love of the Father. Jesus knows what it means to perfectly live in love. He knows what it means to be perfectly loved all of the time. And he says, Father, I want them to experience exactly the same thing. See, he's drawing us into this intimate relationship and is showing us what our inheritance as sons and daughters is. That our inheritance as sons and daughters is to live loved. And, you know, we are where he is. We are in that same place as he is. Jesus says in verse 24 of John 17, Father, I desire that they also may be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory that you've given me because you love me before the foundation of the world. You know, where is Jesus? Jesus is at the bosom of the Father. Jesus is at the side, the Father's side. Jesus is seated in the heavenly places. Jesus is seated in his Father's presence. And his prayer for us, his prayer for you and me, is that we may know that we are where he, we may know that we are where he is. That we are, because we're in him, we are where he is. Because we're in him, we're seated at the Father's right hand. Because we're in him, we're seated in heavenly places. Because we're in him, our true home is the Father's home. It's the Father's presence. And we lose sight of that so often and so easily because stuff happens and we kind of, you know, lose our perspective or lose our way. But Jesus is constantly reminding us that we are loved in exactly the same way as he is loved, and we are where he is. And, you know, that's just a little glimpse of what it looks like for us to live in love. And, you know, when we live in love, we begin to love one another. You know, we can only love because he first loved us. You know, when we live in love, we're made complete. When we live in love, we overcome fear. And I really believe that fear is the opposite of love. You know, John says perfect love casts out fear. And the more we live in love, the more we're rooted and grounded in love, the more fear has to go. Fear cannot stay where love is because they are just incompatible. They just cannot live together. And, you know, my encouragement to us this evening is that we say, Father, I really want to live in love. You know, I want the roots of my life to go down deep into your love. You know, again, I want to experience you loving us. I want to experience you loving me. I want to experience you being a father to me. See, just going to skip on a little bit here. In Lamentations again, it says, the Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him. It's good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And the encouragement we get there is one of just quietly resting, you know, hope, seek and wait. And as we rest in the Father's arms, putting our reliance and our dependence totally on him, you know, we discover that living in love is not a formula. It's not a theory. It's not a concept. But living in love is a relationship. Living in love is being drawn into the same relationship that Jesus enjoyed with his Father. And I really, really believe with all my heart that it is possible for you and I to live in love, for you and I to be rooted and grounded in love, for the roots of our life to go down into love so that his love sustains us. His love gives us energy. His love motivates us. because his love is all we ever need. And that's the place of our greatest security. That's the place of our greatest peace. And that's the place of our greatest rest. And, you know, it's not about understanding facts. It's about stepping into a relationship of life that will transform who we are, simply because love is such a transforming power. So let me just pray for us now. And then Barry and John, feel free to come back. Father, I just thank you for your great love. Father, I thank you that you're loving each one of us right now. And Father, we want to go beyond the understanding of that with our minds. And we want to step into the experience of that love working in our hearts. That Father, where we recognize that we've planted the seed of our life in rocky or weedy soil, Father, we want to plant the seed of our life in the good soil of your love, so that your love is the thing that sustains us and motivates us and energizes us. Father, this is not a theory, but this is the relationship that you've drawn us into. And so, Father, I just pray for all my brothers and sisters that each one of us now, as we're sitting watching this webcast or listening to this webcast, that each one of us now would be clothed in love. That we would put on that garment of your love. That we would just sink into the everlasting arms of our Heavenly Father. And that we would experience you loving us right now. Father, we long to go to experience you more and more. We long for more of your love. We long for more of your presence. And so, Father, I just ask that you would draw each one of us into the fullness of what you have for us. That we would live as your Son, Jesus, lived, in perfect harmony and perfect unity with our Heavenly Dad. Help us, Father, to rely on you, to depend on you, to trust in you, and to see you as the source of everything we need. Father, we just open our hearts afresh and say, Father, just come and pour your love into our hearts. That we would be planted in love, that we would live in love, that the roots of our lives would go deeper and deeper and deeper into this perfect love, that we would experience you loving us right now. Amen. Thank you, Father.